So I'm pretty excited to be speaking about what I'm speaking about this morning, because it's a pretty big topic. You see, this morning, I'm talking about fear, the role it plays in our lives, the way it can impact us, and how we can diminish it. See, my name's Spencer. If you've never met me before, if you're at home and you're watching for the first time, I'm Spencer. I'm usually the one over here playing guitar. If you're new to the church, this might seem like the first time that I've been up here. However, if you were here about 9 years ago, I was given the opportunity to try to give a message way back then, and I think it lasted about a whole 3 minutes. So, I'm hoping that maybe I'm a little bit older, a little bit wiser, and I can speak a little bit longer this time. So, like I said, I'm going to be talking about fears this morning. Now, this tends to be a pretty big topic. When we look at fears themselves, I mean, each individual fear is such a big four-letter word. I'm probably going to talk about some pretty popular fears, ones that I'm sure most of you have dealt with, but I'm probably also going to miss some. So when I talk about this morning, if I miss your personal fear, your personal battle, I'm not diminishing it. Please know that. My main scripture is ultimately going to be out of Joshua. It's going to be Joshua 1, 5 through 9. So if you want to turn there in your Bibles, now you can. But I'll warn you. We've been talking about some pretty big topics here at the church. Pastor Dustin last week talked about where is God in the midst of tragedy. So this week I'm talking about fear. So it's going to seem like it's going to get worse before it's going to get better. So before I get to Joshua 1, I need to warn you that it's going to sound a little bit doomsday apocalyptic. And it's not meant to, but you see, each of us can kind of be in different stages with our fears, and one of those is denial. So before I talk about fear and how to overcome it, I need to convince you that there's a problem. A very real problem that each and every one of us is facing every day. A real problem that can be overcome, but you have to acknowledge that it's there. But before we do any of that, let's get this morning started on the right foot. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to be here. I thank you for the opportunity to speak your word. I pray that as I give this message, it's not my words, but it's your words. And I'm going to do it all in your almighty name. Amen. So early cartographers faced an absolutely daunting task. They had to go out with absolutely nothing, maybe a pen and a piece of paper and a compass, and they had to draw maps of the world. Now, I don't know if it's just me who can't wrap their brains around this, but can you imagine being told absolutely nothing except I want you to go north for 40 years and I want you to draw a continent? I can't wrap my brain around that. You see, they had no GPS, no overhead satellites to see anything other than the coastline that was in front of them. Every step they took was a brand new discovery. And as amazing as that might sound, I can imagine it's also a little bit daunting. Could you imagine walking through a continent and then all of a sudden arriving at a huge mountain range and looking up at those mountains and thinking to yourself, man, there is no way I'm getting over those. Even better, could you imagine you've been out for like, let's say you're going out for 40 years. Let's say you're on year 30 and you get to the mountains. You're like, oh, this will be no problem. You turn to your trusty right hand man. He's been with you for 30 years. You say, Steve, get me my mountain climbing equipment. And Steve has the audacity to look at you and say, what mountain climbing equipment? Yeah, I'd be pretty ticked. But even worse, they get to those mountains. They look up at them and they say, there's no way. They're looking up at the top. They're thinking, there's no way that I can get over these huge mountains that God is putting in front of me. So what would they do? You see, a lot of them would actually turn back, and their fears would lead to them trying to instill fears in others. They would write on their maps right where they came to their stopping point. They would write things like, here be spiders. Here be snakes. Here be venomous scorpions. You see, their fears, even though it might not have been real, they would write on these maps. And it worked. Other cartographers would go nowhere near where these maps ended because they were afraid of what could potentially be in front of them. I need to make a really quick side note. You see, there are two very distinct types of fear in the Bible. fear is a tool, and it's used by both God and by the devil. And while I'm ultimately going to be talking about the fear that the devil uses as a tool, I just need to tell you that fear of God is real, but it's not the bad kind of fear that I'm talking about this morning. You see, fear of the Lord is more of a reverence for God, acknowledging that he is greater than me, will always be greater than me, and he's so much better than any storm that I could ever face. But no, the fear that I'm talking about this morning goes a little bit deeper in a lot of our brains. I was challenged to write this sermon. I think Pastor Dustin said last week, I wrote it probably in April. And since I wrote it in April, I've just kept adding to it because of the state of the world around us. Man, there is so much fear in the world around us. I had a professor once tell me that a pastor will write a sermon for himself first and for his congregation second. So when I talk about fears this morning, know that they're also fears that I deal with. I'm sure all of you deal with it too. We experience a ton of fear in the world around us. People will go to bed fearful. If you watch the news, I mean, think about it. Whether you're on the right side, the left side, whatever it may be, either side, people go to bed in fear over what they see. People will hear gossip and they'll hear rumors about themselves or about others, and it instills more fear in us. The fear I'm talking about is the fear that the devil uses as a tool. This is the devil that we see in part in John 8:44 when it says, "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." The father of lies and the father of the type of fear that I'm talking about this morning, the devil will work to root himself in our heads. He will feast on the lies that we feed ourselves if we're not careful. You see, this fear that I'm talking about, it's a plague. It goes after our happiness, our joy, our comfort. The problem with fear is that it's never just fear, right? It's also anxiety, it's panic, it's worry, it's dread. Beyond that, it goes so much deeper in our brains, and it can actually lead to depression, sadness, or anger. The fear that we experience challenges the way that we think about ourselves. It challenges the way we see others, and it challenges the way we make decisions. It's a cynical process that gnaws at our souls until we allow it to stop. And if you don't think fear is a real threat to you, I challenge you to think again. You see, the University of Minnesota, back in 2013, did a study to see how fear can impact our long-term health. And sure enough, they found out that it has very real precautions. You see, fear can impact us in three main ways. The first way is through our physical health. Living in a constant state of stress and fear can cause cardiovascular damage. It can cause decreased fertility. It can cause accelerated aging and even premature death. It can affect our memory. Fear affects long-term memories and causes damage to parts of the brain that store those memories. It tends to be a cycle. People who live in chronic fear, this is where we see it, because their hippocampus actually becomes destroyed and it only stores memories of fear. So people who live in chronic fear, man, you see, they experience a fear, it goes in, and that's the only thing that's stored. So they see the world around them as nothing but scary, and their memories actually back that up. And then the final way that we see it, probably because of number two, is our mental health. Like I said earlier, it can cause depression, it causes fatigue, and it's known to cause PTSD. Do you think God knew all this? I mean, we see it. I think it's 365 times in the Bible. Do not be afraid in some way, shape, or form. Do you think God, when he blew out his golden word, do you think that God knew all of the long-term health effects that it could have on us? And that's why he reminds us over and over and over again, do not be afraid. Man, I've never seen it more clearly than right there. The way that I see this is we tend to build up fear prisons. With each one of these fears, we build up. Think about it. What is your fear? Is it inadequacy, uncertainty, failure, rejection? Is it missing out? Is it change or losing control? Is it judgment or something bad happening? This is one of those moments where you can insert your own fear here. Think about the lies you tell yourself and where that stems out of our fears. With each one of these fears, we build up. Every time we've been rejected, a brick. Every time we felt like we lost control, a brick. Every time we felt inadequate, another brick. Every time we think we've been judged, a brick. Until inevitably we're trapped in these fear prisons. Where are we going to go? Because everything around us is nothing but fear. I mean, goodness gracious, can you blame us? That's the other part of this. I mean, there's so much to be afraid of. We look at the world around us and what we're being sold. Fear is a very common selling point right now. Whether it's civil unrest, there are forest fires going on in our country. There's a pandemic happening every day. At very real times, contrary to what the video said, it can feel like darkness is winning. The plague is after us. The fear is getting to us. Maybe you can track with me here a second, and here's where we're going to get a little bit more into our scripture. If I talk about a guy who had a reason to exude nothing but fear in the Bible, I'm talking about Joshua. Now, this guy, in my opinion, from a very earthly standpoint, had every reason to be afraid. Now, if you don't know Joshua that well, that's okay. You see, we actually see Joshua way before the Old Testament book of Joshua even begins. We see him first in Exodus 17:9, and he helps build the first militia for Moses after the Israelites leave Egypt. We see him again, perhaps more prominently, in Canaan when Moses sends him and Caleb and the other spies into the land, and he and Caleb are the only two to give the positive report. Numbers 14:8 famously says, "If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us." That's some God confidence right there. Then in Deuteronomy 31, we see him again. This is right before the book of Joshua. He's chosen to succeed the aging Moses after Moses dies. Now, if you do know more about Joshua and further along down Joshua's line, as in the book of Joshua, you'll know that all the awesome things that Joshua does. We have the beautiful power of hindsight. You see, we know that Joshua, he sends the more spies into Canaan. We know that he leads Israel across the Jordan. We know the Battle of Jericho. We know that he beats the Canaanite kings and he divides up the Promised Land, right? We know all of these things, all these great things that we remember Joshua for. But I want to get way more specific on one very key point of Joshua's life. It's the time between Moses' death and all of the stuff that I just described. Think about this for a second. Track with me here. So we're talking about the Israelites, right? They're God's chosen people. They were enslaved by the Egyptians. It was Moses who delivered them. Everyone loved Moses. They crossed the Red Sea with Moses. Moses was the guy with the Ten Commandments. And now that guy, Moses, was dead. Ooh. So now it's all on Joshua's shoulders. Let's talk about this from a very earthly standpoint. Joshua had to be a little nervous, no? I mean, come on. He didn't know everything he was going to do. I mean, he knew what he had to do, right? He knew what he was supposed to do. He knew that he was still supposed to get into Canaan. He knew that he was outnumbered, and he knew that he still had to cross the Jordan. From my point of view, if I was where Joshua was, this would be one of those moments where I am laying down my foundation for a fear prison. I am setting it up brick by brick and saying, God, there is no way I can do all that. God, there is no way you are going to lead me into all of this sure destruction. I think this fear is kind of natural. Whatever we do, whether it's just to be taken seriously or if we want to do a good job, we need something to occur, we get anxious, we get nervous, we get fearful. Guys, I get anxiety when I have to go to a giant other than the one that's right over there. It's funny because it's true. But can you see that, right? The fears had to be building up for Joshua. But right before Joshua has to do all of this, God delivers what I'm going to consider one of the greatest pep talks I've ever read. And this is where we're going to get into our scripture, Joshua 1. And I'm going to start at verse 5. So verses 1 through 4 kind of describe everything that Joshua still has to do. And then we see God say to Joshua, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all that the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to it from the right hand or the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Now, if you've tuned out at any point, come back to me here. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." There's a lot of things that we need to pick up here. The first thing is that whenever God commands something, man, we got to listen, right? God commanded, "Be strong and courageous." He didn't say, "Hey, if you feel like it." No, he commanded, "Be strong and courageous." One thing that I think we should also note is that we don't get a passing sentence, a passing word, a passing phrase, or a verse, or a paragraph, nothing that says that Joshua at any point was fearful. And I think we have to interpret two words in God's command very, very carefully. You see, when God commands to be strong and courageous, strong, I don't think, is referring to physical strength. I don't think it's referring to having big biceps. At least I hope not. I think God is calling us to have a strong mental capacity in the face of our fears. I think courage, in the sense that God's talking about it, is a little bit more of a physical action here. Having the courage to move. Having the courage to take a stand and to stand up for what you believe in. Listen. Because these are the conditions to victory right here. These are the conditions to victory over our battles. You see, everything that Joshua did is not because of the Israelites' confidence in Joshua. No, you see, it's because of Joshua's confidence in God. See, self-confidence will lead us to ruin. It'll ultimately lead to greater fears and to more self-prisons. Where we have a lack of confidence, we need to have an abundance of God confidence. Now, you might be sitting there and you might be saying to yourself, "Spencer, I understand what you're saying and it makes sense, but I've prayed that prayer 1,500 times. And yet here I am. I'm still stuck in the same fears, the same things that I've been going through all my life. I'm still in it. I'm still experiencing those things that give me anxiety. I've prayed to God over and over again, take these things away from me, yet nothing." This might sound counterintuitive, but I'm going to say you're already on the right step. You see, most people won't even take these fears to God. So I encourage you, if you're either in the step where you're not taking your fears to God and praying about it, pray about it. If you have been taking it to God, then this whole next section is for you. If what I just described feels like you right now, listen up really quick. There's an end of the bargain that you have to hold up in this. If you are constantly being weighed down by fear and you're locking yourself in those self-made prisons, what's God going to do with that? This is the point where I might step on some toes, as Pastor Dustin likes to say. I got to see a guy named Crawford Lawrence once speak at a conference, and he talked about Joshua 1:1-9. He spoke about it in a slightly different context, but one of the things that he says I think can really stick out to us, especially as we analyze it in this light. Crawford Lawrence says, "The ability to endure deepens your ability to resolve. If you act courageously, you'll get more courage. God is with you, but he'll only strengthen you when you raise your leg and put it forward. He can't steer a parked car. The wind will only blow if you put up the sail." Think back to those cartographers that I mentioned way earlier. Some cartographers would become so terrified of those phrases, "here be scorpions, here be spiders, here be dragons," that they wouldn't do anything at all. They would lock themselves in those self-made fear prisons. What's God going to do with that? That's a parked car. That's a sailboat with the sails down. That's a leg that's planted firmly on the ground and is not taking a step forward. Understand that the same God that was way back there with Moses is the same God that was with Joshua. That's the same God that was with Jesus, and that's the same God that's with you today. He's still calling you to be strong and courageous in the face of your fears. Sir John Franklin was a master mariner under King Henry V. And unlike many of his colleagues, he believed in that same God. He took the opportunity to take out all those old maps. And sure enough, he saw those old phrases, "here be scorpions, here be lions, here be spiders or giants, here be abandonment, here be doing a good job, here be death or commitment. Here be social phobias or inadequacy." This is another moment where you can insert your own fear here. He crossed it all out. He took the opportunity to write, "Here be God." Now I encourage you. Back whenever I asked you to think about your fears, the lies that you tell yourselves, how those can stem from our fears, whatever fears you thought of, take the opportunity. Whether you go home later or you're just going to do it in your head, whatever it might be, write it down, whatever fear that might be, cross it out nice and big for me and say, "Here is an opportunity for God to work. Here's an opportunity for me to move my legs and to do some positive work in this arena." Be strong and courageous, for that God is with you wherever you go. Now I'm going to pray. But before I do, Pastor Dustin did something really great last week, and I'm going to continue it this week. If you're stuck in one of those self-made fear prisons, if you're there, I encourage you to pray about it. Like I said earlier, prayer is the first step in all of this, and that's a whole other sermon, the importance of prayer. But if you need help, if you need a hand, if you need somebody to help pull you into prayer, if you need somebody to help pull you out of a fear prison, Pastor Dustin, myself, Pastor Larry are going to be up here at the front after the service. Come on up, talk to us. Let us pray for you. You're not alone in these fears. People have felt pretty darn lonely over these past couple of months with all the pandemic and everything. So I encourage you, you're not alone in all of this. Come on up, talk to us. Let us pray for you. Let us get you started off on the right foot as you walk out of these doors this morning. Remember that same God, the same God with Moses, the same God with Joshua, the same God with Jesus is the same God that's here with you. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the ability to be here. Lord God, as we talk to you this morning, I pray for our fears. I pray for what we're trapping ourselves in. I pray for what's holding us back. Lord God, I hope that you can help pull us out. I hope that you can help bring us closer to you and remind us that you are with us wherever and whenever we go. Lord God, I just pray as we go into this week that you can be stronger than any storm we could face and that you can help us in moving a little bit more closer to you. It's in your awesome name I pray. Amen.